Hi, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and we are coming to you live from the beautiful RVN Television Studios. Today, we're going to be talking about how to break the rules to grow your business. And who better to help us with that than Kathy Walterhouse, who is the professional rule breaker and also the host of the Professional Rule Breaker podcast. Kathy, welcome to Behind the Numbers.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, great to have you here. I've got to start by asking, what is a professional rule breaker and how did you get the title?
So first off, I think I've always been a rule breaker, but I just didn't realize it. So what a professional rule breaker is thinking about how can you challenge the conventional wisdom and kind of disrupt the status quo. So it's not about breaking laws. It's all about thinking outside of the box. And as time went by in my sales career, because I'm ex-corporate, I always was kind of bucking the system a bit. And I realized that I did things differently. And because of that, I was able to sell close to $1 billion. So that's how the whole thing happened.
Tell the audience a little bit more about your background. You said you're ex-corporate and you were in sales. Why don't you fill us in a little bit more on that?
Yes. So ex-corporate, I spent many years in the corporate world, starting off with a very small company that when I started with them, they virtually were about ready to go out of business. It was in the medical industry. They were actually selling to the nursing homes. And I think that might have been the start of me breaking the rules. They, you know, when I realized how much a sale was when you're selling to a smaller nursing home, I started looking outside the box. What else can we do? What can we do differently? So I don't know if you remember years ago, there used to be commercials. Actually, one of the spokespersons was Wilford Brimley about diabetes test strips. I was the one that kind of started that entire industry of that mail order blood glucose strips. And it's all about thinking outside the box. It's kind of like what Elon Musk has done in the automobile industry, right? He has really kind of, you know, it turned the entire industry upside down. So again, it's that same mentality of doing that.
And you mentioned that you sold close to $1 billion. So what's the secret sauce there? How do you get to that sort of volume level of success?
Well, I never set out to sell $1 billion or close to $1 billion. It just kind of happened that way. I think there's certain things that you have to do to, you know, reach success in any sales, you know, whether it's, you know, direct sales or if it's like large ticket sales. I mean, it all starts with the mindset. The mindset's about 80% of whether or not you're going to be successful in sales. And I know a lot of people talk about mindset, but it's really important. It's how you start your day. Do you set your intention? Are you in the right frame of mind? A lot of people that struggle in sales, they have doubt. And doubt is the biggest dream stealer out there. Also, perfectionism. If you wait until you know what you're doing, you're going to be waiting forever. It's almost better, I wouldn't necessarily say to learn on the job. You have to do your very best. You know as much as possible out there about your client, about your products. But at the same time, you're not going to know everything. And you have to get rid of that, you know, being scared. You know, some of the folks that I coach, they realize that they're even just scared. You know, they'll go ahead and they'll pick up the phone or they'll go ahead and maybe even just walk in to see a customer, but they're scared. If, you know, they're almost hoping, I hope this customer will not pick up the phone because they're scared. They're so unsure of themselves. They may have like an imposter syndrome thinking they're not good enough. So I work with people with that. And once you get over that, the next thing is you got to focus on the customer. That is so important. That's also, I also have like an 80-20 rule when it comes to the customer as well. I find that a lot of people, that don't like sales or think it's slimy or really struggle with sales is they're focusing solely on themselves. I have a step, I call it about face. It's all about focusing on the customer, what the customer wants, and what the customer needs. So I think if you focus on those, just those things alone, your numbers are going to skyrocket.
Yeah, and so much to unpack there. And let me start by saying that a friend of mine, Todd Cohen, who's a speaker and an author, has said everyone's in sales. And he makes a great point that whether you're at the front desk or wherever you may sit in an organization, we all carry the flag. We represent the brand. So we are all technically in sales, right? So that's the first mindset shift that I needed to understand. And when you talk about doubt, you mentioned something about, you know, feeling slimy, because most people think that selling is about asking. But I had hired a coach a while ago. We went through a process, and it's a mindset shift to your point about focusing on them. And if you come into the conversations thinking about how can I help, how can I add value, it's not about selling something per se. That was the key for me. Once I let go of the rope, so to speak, and decided I don't care if I work with you, and I don't mean that arrogantly, I'm going to work with you to find a solution for you. And if we happen to wind up working together, that's great. Help us to understand, Kath, what's the key to breaking through the doubt and the fear, if you will, and getting into that right mindset that you referred to?
So I think the key is, and you basically said it, is when you said that, you know, when you don't care if you're working with that person or not, you're just trying to help. That's the key. You have to let go of the outcome. If you go in going, I just want to get this contract signed, I want to get this sale, you're coming from the wrong place. Of course, though, you're going to want to get the sale. You want to make money. You know, you don't want it to be a hobby, right? You want to get something from it. But if you focus really more on helping, I always have this visualization of taking the customer by the hand to the path that they want to go. If you think about that, because if you do your job right, you're going to know what they want, you're going to know what they need, and you're going to know why they need it. And so you know the pain points. And, you know, it's always the let's get away from pain, let's go towards pleasure, whatever it might be. So what you're doing is, what can you do to take that customer, A, figure out what they need and want, hold them by the hand and lead them down that path so that they will have success? Because when your customers have success, then you're going to have success and your success is going to grow.
Yeah. And look, in my world, it's professional services. And I work with a lot of folks in professional services as well. And there are a lot of folks in the profession who, like you said, they're fearful. So what do you say to people who tell you, I can't sell?
I've had a bunch of people tell me that. So everyone can sell. You are selling every minute of the day. I'm just going to use an example, a couple examples. So let's say you're going out on a date. Well, guess what you're doing when you're going out on a date? You literally are selling with the person that you're having a date with. You are a great person and they should get to know you more. What about, let's say, if you have children, you're selling to your children, you know, to clean their room, to do their homework, to, you know, put the dishes in the dishwasher. You're doing it every single day. Selling is not something that is hammering somebody over the head. That's what I call slimy selling. That's not what this is. And selling is not about being really scared and thinking about yourself. I call that scared selling. Where you want to be, the sweet spot in selling is what I call noble selling, which is kind of what we already talked about, where you are literally in there to help the other person. It's almost like the golden rule. You put that other person in front of you. And then I always say, sell like you would want to be sold to.
Yep. Well said. Kath, we're getting close to the commercial break here. So why don't you tell the audience how they can connect with you if they want to learn more about with you, or if they'd like to work with you to help them boost their sales effectiveness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you can go to my website. It's called theprofessionalrulebreaker.com. And there, if you just scroll through the page, you can actually, there's a freebie you can get. It's the ultimate sales starter guide. And that will get you into a community where I offer all sorts of resources and tools for you free of charge.
That's awesome. Kath, you sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We have to pay a few bills here. Folks at home, we will be right back on Behind the Numbers after this quick break.
Un ataque cerebral puede ser fácil de detectar. Su ser querido no logra hablar o quizás no puede moverse. Pero existe otro síntoma de ataque cerebral que muchos de nosotros no vemos. Se llama negligencia espacial y puede ocurrir durante o después de un ataque cerebral, causando movimientos visuales distorsionados. Afortunadamente, existe una solución que utiliza tecnología óptica basada en prismas durante la rehabilitación. Si usted o su ser querido experimenta un ataque cerebral, pregúntele a su doctor sobre la negligencia espacial. Encuentre más información en kesslerfoundation.org.
Wait, I have you surrounded. You're just gonna stand there? Or are you gonna take your lawn back?
We're gonna take it back.
We're gonna take it back.
With Scott's Turf Builder, triple action. It gets three jobs done at once. Kills weeds, prevents crabgrass, and keeps your lawn growing strong. Glorious! Ah!
No, no.
Get a bag of Scott's Triple Action today. It's guaranteed.
Feed it long.
And Doug.
Hey, man. Nice base. Clearly you're a safe driver. You could save hundreds for safe driving with Liberty Mutual.
They customize your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Woo! We gotta go again!
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
I learned how quickly everything can be taken away. 1 minute, I was playing college football. The next, I was paralyzed. I'm Eric LeGrand. I believe I will walk again, but also know what I can do now. I'm applying my love of the game as a sports broadcaster and inspiring others along the way. Only my abilities matter. Visit Kessler Foundation on Facebook and tell us your abilities. And go to KesslerFoundation.org, where only abilities matter.
Un ataque cerebral puede ser fácil de detectar. Su ser querido no logra hablar o quizás no puede moverse. Pero existe otro síntoma de ataque cerebral que muchos de nosotros no vemos. Se llama negligencia espacial y puede ocurrir durante o después de un ataque cerebral, causando movimientos visuales distorsionados. Afortunadamente, existe una solución que utiliza tecnología óptica basada en prismas durante la rehabilitación. Si usted o su ser querido experimenta un ataque cerebral, pregúntele a su doctor.
And welcome back to Behind the Numbers. I'm Dave Bookbinder, and we are talking with Kathy Walterhouse, the professional rule breaker. We're talking about how you can help to grow your sales. And Kath, one of the conversations that, interestingly enough, was happening here at the commercial break that I wanted to bring back onto camera was this. In my world in professional services, more often than not, we are selling ourselves. We're building trust with our potential clients so that they will want to work with us. Others are selling a product. Talk about the distinction between the selling of yourself and selling a product.
Okay. So, yes, are you selling yourself? Absolutely. You know, it's that know, like, and trust factor that a customer needs to have, because people buy from people that they like. So if you come in, let's say it's an in-person sale. If you come in and you're not listening, you're not engaging, your attitude is not great, they're not going to like you. Also, if you put on false airs, that's something that I see that's very common. People go in a certain way because they think they should go in that way. It's actually very common in the corporate world. If you ever notice, in the corporate world, a lot of times, just simple things, everybody goes in a blue suit, and because they think they have to. Even some companies almost dictate what it is that you wear. Myself, you know, as being the professional rule breaker, and even though I did have blue suits, I had plum, I had red, I had all these different things. And I can tell you, there's been times that I've gone in, I worked for a company where literally an appointment, you would go in as an army. And times you would have 20 people with you. I was the only one wearing a different color. And there was another individual that worked in that company, and he had glasses and spiky hair. He reminded me of Bono from U2. Hmm. Well, guess what? The two of us were always the one that these clients, and these were big multi-million dollar customers, they would call us because they remembered who we were, because we were authentically who we were. So I think that's really important. Be authentically who you are, you know, be genuine. People will like you for that. People will like you for your quirks. They will like you for being different, and they will remember you. And then when it comes to like a product, of course, you're going to be selling the product, but you have to really believe in that product. You have to love that product. You have to know what it stands for and how it's going to help the customer. And if it's not going to help the customer, be ready to walk away. That customer will come back to you later on for something else. And they'll also refer you to a bunch of people as well, because they will know that you have their best interest in mind.
Yeah, good stuff. And I'm sure you work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs are in that unique position where oftentimes they are the firm, they are the product. And a lot of times they're not comfortable selling, but they have to be out there carrying the flag because it's really them. Do you find any recurring themes when you're working with entrepreneurs? Are there certain things that some do better than others? Is there a fundamental mistake that they typically make?
I would say yes. There's probably a couple things. First off, they struggle with listening because they're so, you know, they could be scared there, or they may have a goal in mind and they don't take the time to listen to their customer and ask the right questions. I think that if you do that, the customer always shows you what I consider to be gold. I use an analogy of an iceberg with a customer. So when you see an iceberg, you're only seeing 20% of that, of the iceberg. 80% is under the water. It's exactly the same thing with the potential customer. You know, they may tell you a few things, and maybe you know the demographics and that type of thing, you know, and they'll tell you what they want. But if you sit at that point, you're only going to know their surface, the surface part of the customer. Somebody might say, I want a lower price. So it's your job to go below that 80% and start asking questions. Why do you need a lower price? It could be something that they want to impress their boss. Maybe they have a budget. Maybe it's just they want to see if they can kind of conquer. Sometimes, you know, there's clients out there that want to see if they can kind of best you, hammer you down. There's a lot of different reasons. But when you keep on asking questions, keep on digging, you're going to find out their need. You're going to find out their want. And you're probably going to be one of the few that do that. And when you're one of the few, right then and there, you become their resource. They're going to look at your products more seriously. They're always going to come back to you. So I would say those things are really important. It's asking questions, know your customer really well, and
listening.
Yeah. And one of the things that you alluded to before was the authenticity when you talk about how you showed up and your colleague as well. And you were remembered, you were different, and you stood out. Talk to us about how we can differentiate ourselves day to day and stand out in all the noise that inevitably our potential buyers are experiencing, whether it's in person or online or what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the noise is getting bigger every single day. I would say, again, be authentically you, but then I would start something that I would call a connection campaign. A connection campaign is a series of little touches. And then every once in a while, in that touch, you're going to throw something in that is sales related. So the touch can be something, you know, if you've gotten to know your customer or you know some things about your customer, is telling them about something that's going on in the industry that maybe they may not know. Or maybe asking them something about their kids' basketball game you know, because you know they have kids and maybe they talked about how they coached their son's YMCA game or something and they had a game coming up. A series of very small touches. And then think about, you know, what does that customer like? What's different? I sent a message just recently because there was somebody I wanted to get in touch with. And, you know, a lot of times people go, hey, can we get together and maybe go for a coffee? So I changed it up and I said, hey, why don't we go for a taco? You know, think about things that maybe they might like, something that's different. I can guarantee I'm the only person that said, let's go for a taco. And it's, again, it's because I knew a little bit about that. And also there's that, I would say, surprise factor in there. You know, what can you do that's different?
Yeah. And I want to shift gears just a little bit. We've covered a lot of ground that may overlap with this next question I want to throw at you. But we talked a lot about how to, we'll call it, win the new customer. But you've heard the expression land and expand. So I want to talk about what happens when you're working with an existing customer. They've been a client of yours, whether it's a year or 5 years, doesn't matter. The key is you want to retain them because they're hearing from all of your competitors every day. So what specifically can you offer advice-wise for helping to deepen the connection with our existing customers?
So that is really important. I think the real work begins when you land a customer. And obviously you want to keep that customer. It's cheaper for your company and you'll get more revenue if you keep that customer rather than trying to go find another customer. So I think your job is to know their business really, really well. I remember I had one of my largest clients say to me, you know my company better than I know it. And you know what my next move is before I take it. And that's where you really need to be. You almost need to become an employee of that company. Get boots on the ground. Again, especially if you have high ticket customers. Like I just think back to that particular customer. I knew his warehouse manager. That warehouse manager told me everything I needed to know. I knew the head of customer service. So I knew what was happening in the phone calls that were coming in. So I had that background information. So it was almost like I was helping him. I was being like a third arm in his business. And in essence, I helped his business grow. And his business actually went public because of that.
Kath, for the folks watching and listening, want to learn more about you, want to connect, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So again, if everyone can go to theprofessionalrulebreaker.com, you can find me there. I actually offer a free coaching session, a discovery session. So check that out. And then, of course, go to my podcast, The Professional Rulebreaker. That's on all streaming platforms. We have some really amazing guests this year. Our season just started. I just had a former U.S. Surgeon General. I have a Nobel Peace Prize winner coming on. And they're telling me all their secrets on what makes them successful.
And rule breakers, no doubt, right? You wouldn't have somebody on your program that
all
is
all rule breakers.
Exactly. So I want to talk about a couple of terms that I scraped from your website and from other conversations that I've seen you do. And we're getting close to the end here, so I don't have a whole lot of time to go deep. We've got about 5 minutes to go in the program. But I want to talk to you about the habit of making a difference.
Yes. So that's really big for me. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to make a big difference in the world. And I think it's really important for everybody to understand that you alone can also make a big difference in the world. Because if you affect even just one person out there, that next person could be the next founder of some company, some technology that changes the world. It could be the next president. Could be so many different things. So I find that if you just take these little micro steps, you know, a lot of times I think people think, you know, like, hey, what can I do? I'm just one person. You really can. And in my podcast, I always end with that. It's kind of like throwing a stone into like a stream and seeing that ripple effect. Those small ripple effects can grow. Because again, that one person that you affect can affect, you know, other people. So it's really exponential. And I just think it's almost selfish if you have this amazing gift and you don't share it with the world, because there's so many people that you can help.
Yeah, and that's great advice, because so many people have the idea to write the book, to do the talk, to write the article or whatever it may be, and then they're immobilized by fear, or it's that imposter syndrome, like you said, you know, I'm just a guy or I'm just a gal, why me? But I can tell you firsthand that if you overcome that and you actually put yourself out there a little bit, you can make a difference. Kath, we're down to the real short strokes here in 60 seconds. I want you to tell the audience, what's the number one thing that we should be thinking about when we're meeting with a client or a potential client?
Okay. I'm going to give you two, if that's okay.
Fair enough.
First, just do it. Don't be afraid. Go out there and just try to make attempts to do what it is that you want to do. Failure is really a fantastic thing. I think if you know how to fail and you fail really fast, it's going to lead to your success. And then secondly, focus on your customer. Approach them as if you are the customer.
Well said. Just do it. Kathy, unfortunately, we are out of time. It goes really, really fast here on Behind the Numbers, but I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. We have been talking with Kathy Walterhouse, who is the professional rule breaker. Definitely check out her website and catch her podcast. It's a lot of good stuff there. My name is Dave Bookbinder. I'm the one my clients turn to when they want to know what their most important assets are worth. And as I've been saying for a while now, if you're a business owner and you don't know the value of your business, we should probably have a conversation. So please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to chat. Thanks to the Big Cheese for running the board today. And thank you out there for watching and listening. We can't do it without you. And we truly appreciate your support. That's all we have for today, folks. We'll see you next time on Behind the Numbers. Take care, everybody.